My subject tonight is in the light. Light is hard to define. It's the absence of darkness. But then what's darkness? The absence of light. And we haven't gained a thing, have we? Light is where there is visibility. Light is where there is health. As far as the human being is concerned, light is a necessity for health. Now, one can live in total darkness if they have foodstuff that's grown in light. But you see, to have foodstuff that provides for our body, we have to have light. So light is a vitality thing for health. In 1 John 1:5, John writes, "This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And then we connect that with James 1:17. And James tells us that he is the father of lights. Now let's think about that. He is the father of physical light. For when he formed the earth, it was in total darkness. And God said, "Let there be light." So he is the father of light. He gave extra light when he created the sun and the moon and the stars. But this is still all from the source, God. But Jesus is the Word. And we're going to enlarge upon that in just a little bit. And so he is the source of spiritual light. He is the creator of all light, both physical and spiritual. The psalmist said in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And then I like a statement of Isaiah in chapter 60, verse 19. "The Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light." Now connect that everlasting light with a statement found over in Revelation 21:3, which says that in heaven they need no sun, need no moon, for the Lamb is the light. So the Lord is unto thee an everlasting light. He's an everlasting spiritual light for us. And this is essential in our lives. This is a necessary thing. I'd like to turn to John, the Gospel according to John now, chapter 1, and look at a few verses. Beginning with verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness could not overpower it." Now the King James says, "And the darkness comprehended it not." But in reality, simpler for our understanding, "And the darkness could not overcome it." The life was light, the light of men. This is Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the darkness is not able to overpower it. Remember another passage that says that Satan is the prince of darkness? So this gives us a valuable strength when we know that Jesus cannot be overcome by Satan. He tried. He tried for 30 years and failed. I read again in this passage in John chapter 7, verses 7, 8, and 9. This speaking concerning John, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." You see, we have a need of Jesus as a light. We have a need of him that we have health. We have a need of him that we have visibility. What does the scripture say? That it's a path, the light is unto our path and to our feet. I like a passage from the writing of John again in chapter 3 and verse 19 when he makes this statement. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world. And men love darkness rather than evil because their deeds are evil. I like the statement that light has come into the world. That's the important thing for us. Then over in the 8th chapter and in the 12th verse, again John speaks in this way. Jesus speaking, John records, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the Apostle Paul is making a defense of the gospel. And in speaking of Jesus, he said, to turn from darkness to light. It's important for us. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. The word became flesh and blood and was a living light. But the written word, the recorded word, the inspired word is now our visible guidance. It strengthens us and directs us and guides us. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 for another thought concerning the gospel, the light, and our part of it. In whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, God sent Jesus, and he's that light. And we are the reflectors of that light. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that word is so important. This word, this gospel is so important. We have to understand it clearly, the importance of it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Every individual in this building who is a Christian came out of darkness, came into light. But not just to be in the light. It's not enough for us to be in the light. Peter says that we are to show forth his praises. And that's a significant thing. And if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the light of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Light has a healing effect. And so we walk in that light for the cleansing power of it. Man uses light for purifying. The sunlight is a purifying thing. The sun shines on a little stream of water over a period of time, over a period of distance, and purifies the water in that stream. It helps to kill bacteria and to make the water pure to drink. We walk in the light, we stay in that light, and we have cleansing from our sin. You notice it's a continual cleansing as long as we stay in the light. As long as we walk there, we have safety. We do not worry about stumbling. We do not worry about falling. I think one of the things that we fail to understand, and sometimes this is hard to get across to people who are trying to get to accept Jesus, or maybe to return to Christ, who've fallen by the wayside. And they get the idea. They say, if I just knew I could live all of my life in the light, or if I could just always walk for Jesus the rest of my life, I'd serve Him. Jesus doesn't ask that. Jesus asked for us to walk with Him today. When tomorrow comes, we'll walk with Him tomorrow. But if tomorrow doesn't come, we don't worry about it. I sometimes illustrate it this way. You do not need a light on your vehicle if it were dark tonight when you were going home. You do not need a light that would shine all the way to your house for it to be safely to drive there. In fact, you don't have to have a light that will shine 100 yards down the road to be safe to drive. Now, you'd have to drive much slower. But if you had a light that only shined a few feet in front of you, the old yellow kerosene lantern that was carried for many years only would light about 3 or 4 feet ahead of you, but you could walk safely with it because as you took each step, it lighted the distance ahead for the next step and the next step. And John says that if we walk in the light, we have this fellowship with Him. We have the fellowship with one another. And the light of one another helps to guide. Because if I'm walking in the light, and you're walking in the light, we are candles for the Lord. The Lord said, ye are the light of the world. So it is a vital thing that we walk in the light. Because it's a cleansing place. It cleanses us from all sin. Worshiping in the light. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What was the purpose of the priesthood of Aaron? For the worship of God. It was their requirement to take care of all of the priesthood. Not long ago, I heard a man make a statement that I thought was very interesting. There were some of the descendants of Levi that took care of the tabernacle, the tent. There were some of the descendants of Levi that carried the furniture. But the descendants of Aaron, they took care of the worship. The priesthood was invested in the Levites, not in the Kohathites, in the Levites. And ye, Peter says, ye are a royal priesthood. We are for the worship of God. Notice that called you that we might show forth the praises of Him. We gather in worship, we demonstrate our praises of Him. But remember, this worship must be in the light. And what is the light? Thy word is a light. We must be walking in the light, according to the word. And we must be worshiping in the light, according to the word. Not all people do this, but we should. Paul said in Roman letter chapter 13 and verse 12, let us put on the armor of light. We are soldiers. We are all soldiers in the army of the Lord. Even though we may have not realized it when we accepted Jesus and was baptized into Him, we became a soldier. We might have been very unskillful as a soldier. But when we accept that call of Jesus, we become a soldier, one who fights in the army of the Lord. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And then he compares our lives and our relationship with a Roman soldier. We put on that armor. so that we will be able to stand, that we'll be able to fight the good fight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, a wide girdle belt, have on a breastplate to protect the vital organs of righteousness, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, need shoes that we can march, fight for the Lord. Take the shield of faith. You know, the shield was both an offensive and a defensive weapon. It made it possible for a person to advance against the enemy, as well as you shall be able to quench or to knock aside the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer. We are soldiers. Some of us are not very skilled in the weaponry. Some of us, our armor isn't very well polished or taken care of. We sometimes let the breastplate of righteousness get a little tarnished or a little unused. Maybe we don't keep the shoes of the gospel of peace polished up and in good condition. Maybe we lay the helmet aside for a little while. You see, and then we become vulnerable. Most of us don't like to think of ourselves being in a war, but we are. And it's a dangerous situation. And above all, there's one thing that we never want to do in this battle with Satan and his forces. Never turn your back. For there is no armament protection for the backside of the soldier. It's always for the front. So don't turn your back on him. If you have to retreat, step backwards. But always keep looking at him and facing him. And sometimes we as soldiers do have to retreat. Who of us haven't retreated in embarrassment and in shame? But we've retreated. But it's not, the retreat is not the terrible thing. It's when we turn our backs and run and forget about the battle and don't return. I read a little story the other day. Supposed to be true. Napoleon was in a battle. And they were being defeated, badly defeated. And he said to the drummer boy, he said, beat retreat. And the little boy said, I don't know how to beat retreat. They only taught me how to beat charge. So he said, beat charge. And the army became victorious. We're warring. We're in a war, a battle. And we need to remember this. But he that doeth the truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. On the word wrought, let me use the word work. That they are working in God. Ours is a working relationship. You never retire from the work of the Lord. You may have a special skill or a special, pardon me, trade within the work of the Lord. But it's always working for the Lord. We labor for Him to accomplish His purpose. That His name will be honored. That His name will be glorified. That men will turn and accept Him. I read an interesting thing the other day. In Bulgaria, they opened up a McDonald's. And people are standing in line or clear around the block to get in to buy Big Macs. But they're having a serious problem, a labor problem. Most of the Bulgarian people have for all of their lives been on a social work program where they're not paid by the quality or the quantity of their work. And it said that many of them feel that if they work 4 hours or 5 hours, why the rest of the time they read the newspaper or they visit or they talk or they nap or this. And McDonald's doesn't operate on that theory. McDonald's works on an 8 hour work, and I've never been in when any of them was standing around doing very little. There's always something going on. I'm afraid that sometimes we have those of us in the Lord that are kind of working for the Lord on a socialized program when we feel like it. To the extent we're going to get paid. You know, in socialist countries, they get paid every week or every month, whether the production is there or whether they accomplish anything or not. Everybody gets paid. Poor old Gorbachev is going to have a problem over there. In the next 5 years, I believe it is, there'll be 16 million Russians out of work. They haven't known what that is, because you're going to have to be a productive society, not just a social society. And we who are in the Lord are working. We're always at work. There's never any time to stop. We work 7 days a week, 24 hours of the day. All of our lives is dedicated to the work of the Lord. Even when we're on a particular job, whatever that job might be. What was it that Paul said? Do it not as though you were doing it for men, but as though you were doing it for the Lord. So we are working for the Lord. John said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. We're watchful. Now this all fits in with the above words. Being watchful when we work. Being watchful when we are at war. Being watchful in our worship. Being watchful as we walk. Seeing, looking about us. The scripture says that the devil as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Paul said walk circumspectly, means looking around, being aware, being careful. Watch your step. Most of us sometimes kind of forget about our watching. But we have the light, so we ought to be able to see. Did you ever go into the room after your wives had moved the furniture around and it's dark and you don't turn the light on? Of course, now my wife doesn't move the furniture around like that very often, but it has happened. Or when the kids or the grandkids leave the toys in the floor. And in the darkness, there's a danger. If the light's on, well, there's no problem because we can see. And we are in the light. Since we're in the light, we are watching. We are aware of the situation, the conditions that are there. And so we avoid the pitfalls. We avoid the dangers. We avoid the problems. Many of the times, our problems do not slip up on us accidentally. We see them coming and just let them come. We know that they're going to happen, but we don't do anything about it. Being watchful. As I said yesterday morning in my lesson, if you know your weakness, then avoid putting yourself in a situation where that weakness is going to be in danger. If you know what is your problem that causes you to do what you ought not to do, stay out of that situation. Be watchful of it. Don't let yourself get into that situation. It can't always be done. Sometimes we can't avoid it. But to the best of our ability, if we're watchful. A Car accidents happen. Industrial accidents happen. Sports accidents happen. Quite often because people are not watchful of the situation. They're just not aware of what's going on around them well enough. And so John says, watch so that you stumble not. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 that in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're all aware that the moon of itself has no light. It is just a reflector. It reflects from the sun and benefits us. Are we aware that we are reflectors of the Son of God? That we shine the light of Jesus to others? All of us as children have or do play with a mirror from time to time and a light like this. I remember one time I had just occurred to me, I'd forgotten, but I was preaching and there was some little kid that got into mother's purse and the light was just shining on the ceiling and the walls and they were having a ball. It never did hit me in the eye, but they were having a ball. Well, I remember playing with the mirror. It's fun. They tell the story of Thomas Edison when he was a boy. And his mother had to have an emergency appendectomy in the middle of the night. And the doctor said, I can't see. And they ran to the neighbors. He said, go to the neighbors and get all the lamps that you can. And they brought back the old kerosene lamps. And they still didn't have enough light. And Edison said, roll the dresser with the big mirror up in front of it, on it, up close to the bed, and set all the lamps right next to the mirror. So the light shined out and then reflected also and doubled the amount of light. We are God's reflectors. We are witnessing for Him. We are the testimony that God is, that Jesus is His Son, that there is a reality in this life for life hereafter. I sometimes wonder if maybe we don't miss something when we don't practice what some of our religious neighbors do with their testimonials. Oh, I've heard some of those testimonials, and they repeat the same things, and the same person may testify the same thing for 6 months or 6 years. And it may be almost be just kind of a trite little sentence. But you know, they do something in those testimonials. They tell what they have been doing or what God, they feel that God has been doing through them. They testify of their relationship to the Lord. And they strengthen one another in that. And we testify to the world. We witness for Him. I sometimes wear a little emblem on my suit lapel. It's a little circle. And it has an eye in it. And everybody that's a member of Optimus International immediately recognizes that little symbol and knows that I'm a member of Optimus. Now, I don't have to wear a cross on my lapel or on my tie or around my neck for people to know that I am a witness for Christ. I don't have to do that. But I do have to be a witness. I do have to be a testimony of Jesus, the Son of God. However I may do it, that's my obligation, witnessing for Him. Whom ye shine as lights in the world. And do we let our light shine? We never know how our light's going to shine. Last Sunday morning, a 14-year-old boy was baptized in Topeka. His grandfather baptized him. But you know, the interesting thing goes clear back to about 1946. Brother Bill Hensley was having a gospel meeting with us. And we were getting ready to have a basket dinner, and Mary wanted to bake an angel food cake, and she didn't have a cake pan. And she called one of the ladies, and she said, "I've got mine going. I'm going to use mine." But she said, "I think Evelyn has one." Evelyn wasn't a member of the church. Evelyn and her husband came once in a while. They'd been coming, but they hadn't. They were not. She was not a member. So Mary called Evelyn, and Evelyn said, "Sure, I'll bring it to church tonight." Mary baked the cake. We had the basket dinner. A day or two after the dinner was over, we had a two. This was the days when he had at least a 2 weeks beating. A day or two after the dinner, Mary took the cake pan down to Evelyn and visited with Evelyn for a little bit. The next night, Evelyn, with the invitation song, Evelyn started down the aisle, and Alvin started behind her. Evelyn came to be baptized. She later told her mother-in-law, "Mary coming down to borrow a cake pan and visiting with me was just that little spark, that little thing of connection, that personal connection that pushed her over to obey the Lord." Now her grandson is a Christian, witnessing for him in the way. You know, sometimes it's not standing on the street corner preaching or standing in a pulpit before a throng of people. Sometimes it's not even saying a word about the Lord. It's just that the Lord shines through in our lives on a particular occasion. In the light, we are to walk, we're to worship, we're to war, we're to work, we're to watch, and we are to witness. Tonight, if you're not in the light, we offer you an opportunity to become a part of the family and to walk in that light. In your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In your repentance of renouncing sin and turning to Him. In your being baptized in His name, that you might be a part of Him and His body. If you have other needs, we invite you also as we stand and sing the number that's been announced. Let us stand, please.